Welcome to Power Play. On the day divorce proceedings began in Europe, with the British breakaway rippling across the Atlantic to affect Canada's new EU trade pact. The British High Commissioner standing by to explain the next step. Also coming up on today's show, Canada's Environment Minister is no longer on the same clean energy page as her U.S. counterparts. We will ask Catherine McKenna to explain the impact of our Great Green Divide with Trump's coal-fired America. And China is pushing Canada to move forward on an extradition treaty, even as Australia puts its on hold. We will ask a former top negotiator what China would do if Canada followed the path down under. And we will have new figures on the number of illegal immigrants entering Canada. Spoiler alert, they're way up. We will ask the press gallery if this means the Trudeau government will have to launch a crackdown. But first, Britain is Canada's third largest trading partner with $500 million in exports and imports every week. Heck, we even exported our Bank of Canada governor there to run the Bank of England. It's also a top three source of investment and second only to the United States in tourist visits, so it's not an inconsequential arrangement. And so when Britain opts to leave a free trade deal we've signed with the European Union, well, it's cause for concern.
Today, the government acts on the democratic will of the British people. And it acts too on the clear and convincing position of this House. A few minutes ago in Brussels, the United Kingdom's permanent representative to the EU handed a letter to the President of the European Council on my behalf, confirming the government's decision to invoke Article 50 of the Treaty on European Union. The Article 50 process is now underway. And in accordance with the wishes of the British people, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union.
There is no reason to pretend that this is a happy day, neither in Brussels nor in London. After all, most Europeans, including almost half the British voters, wish that we would stay together, not drift apart.
And Paul Workman is our London Bureau Chief, so he joins us from London. Paul, how messy of a divorce are we looking at here?
Well, it could get very messy, I think, Don. I mean, there was a lot of goodwill expressed today, but when it goes into the divorce court, a lot of that goodwill evaporates pretty quickly. The European Union, for example, is demanding huge amounts of money from Britain, something like 50 billion euros to pay for its obligations, and it's being scoffed at here as just being a wild amount of money that nobody really wants to pay. So that's going to be, I think, the first roadblock in negotiations, and that's really just at the beginning, setting out just how much Britain will pay and what the terms of the divorce will be. So messy, it may be a very apt description for what's down the road over the next couple of years.
As always, the lawyers are going to get rich in this. But moving on, though, aside from Scotland wanting to exit ahead of Brexit, what are the main stumbling blocks in making this delinkage happen?
The money, certainly. That's the first one. Mm-hmm. Then they're talking about getting a deal on all the Europeans who live in Britain and all the British citizens who live in Europe, trying to work that out. That's pretty much it. Then dismantling all the regulations, how they're going to deal with things like, you know, European courts and Interpol and Europol and all of those kinds of things, security arrangements, all of that, which are vital and very important and a lot of Europeans think should be set apart from any talks on Brexit. So they've got to deal with that and get the divorce out of the way, if you like, before they talk about the future, what kind of new relationship Britain and Europe are going to have after that. And that's where it's going to get really also bogged down, because Britain is going to demand a free trade deal with Europe. Europe's sort of saying, why should we give you an advantage? You've just left us. You've just divorced us. It's not a question of punishment, but it's a matter of saying there has to be a price for leaving a relationship that you were in for 44 years.
Yeah, German Chancellor Angela Merkel was sort of looked at as an ally to help have a dual system of negotiations, how to exit Brexit and how to relink with Europe. And she says, we're not going to do both at the same time. Is that a big setback?
That's absolutely right. But it's exactly also what Europe has been saying for the last number of months. You're not going to talk trade until you've agreed to everything else. that needs to be put in place before we can get to those kinds of negotiations.
Right.
The president of France essentially said today as well, you know, that these negotiations are going to be very painful, was his word, for Britain. That seems to me a bit of early language about how difficult Europe is going to make it for Britain if they, you know, do want a trade deal. A, they're going to have to wait, and B, they're not going to be able to cherry pick, and they're not going to be able to get everything they want.
All right. Final quickly, Paul, on this one, the big void here now is Canada. You had a free trade deal with Britain through the EU deal. They don't anymore. What happens to Canada-British right. trade deals?
It'll have to be negotiated all over again. That's my understanding of it. I do know that Britain people here are saying they would like to take the European deal with Canada and just accept what Canada's already done with Europe and say, we'll take it. And in that way, they might be able to have a very quick trade deal with Canada. That's slightly unrealistic. At least that's what I'm hearing from people here and from a number of Europeans, that you just can't take one as a template and apply it to the other, that it's much more complicated than that. So I think Britain and Canada are probably going to have to renegotiate wow. all over again, as they say.
Oh. Yeah. All over again. Okay, Paul, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Don.
Well, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau was asked about the implications for Canada earlier today.
The United Kingdom remains a friend, an ally, an economic partner, and we will, of course, work with them as they go through the transition that they're embarking upon. We will continue to look for ways to create closer trade ties and opportunities for better jobs and economic growth that benefits both of our countries. And we will continue to engage as friends and allies with Great Britain in this process.
Well, as Paul said earlier, it might not be easy to simply replicate the EU deal with post-Brexit Britain. Well, let's get the official diplomatic reaction. Howard Drake is the UK High Commissioner to Canada. Welcome to the show again.
Nice to have you,
Howard. Okay, fast track, long haul. When could Canada relink with Britain under these free trade terms that were negotiated with the CETA deal?
Well, the first thing to say is we are very much part of CETA, and we will benefit from it as Canada does and as the rest of the EU will for the 2 years we're in. And because CETA is such a great deal, we want to use it, and indeed I think Canada does too, as the template for a bilateral arrangement when we move out of the European Union. So we've got a very good starting point there. Now, in terms of when we do it and whatever, I mean, it is a fact, as you know, that the UK, while we're in the EU, we cannot sign an external trade deal, formally sign one, mm-hmm. with anybody. But you can do a lot of talking. And so what we're doing is, and we're driven, this isn't just a matter of sort of theology, this is about keeping business going and flowing. Canadian business and British business, they're hugely important to each other. You know that
we're
very well.
Third largest.
Precisely.
Partner, yeah.
So, and I was down in Toronto in the last couple of days talking to businesses about just this kind of thing. So there are two things. First of all, yes, we do want a future bilateral deal to replace our being in CETA, and that will be doable, mm-hmm. Perfectly doable. But secondly, in fact, it's the wrong way around. In the meantime, what we've got to do is ensure that there's no disruption and no cliff edge when 2 years from today we leave the European Union. And that is going to be achievable as well. And we've had very good conversations with Canadian officials and indeed Canadian business. There's a very strong will to get this done.
Could it be seamless that, the EU Brexit takes effect at the same time a bilateral with Canada kicks in, like that we wouldn't even notice that there was two deals? It all seemed like one?
Well, I think.
Or is that ambitious a timetable?
Well, I think you can almost have both. I mean, we cannot sign an agreement until we've left, so right. that is a fact. So there has to be some separation. But what we can do, as I say, is put in place something which ensures that there is no cliff edge. Right. It's a slightly different part of the conversation, mm-hmm. but we're confident that we can get to that, and it's really important for business.
Yeah. Well, I guess I was wondering because the EU deal has been sold to us as a huge business opportunity. It'll increase exports to the EU and imports from the EU, and I just sort of wonder if we've got this deal with the EU and Britain's on outside the EU, does trade shift to the EU and away from Britain? Is that a specter?
Well, the starting point is the very large proportion of that Canada's trade with the EU is actually with the UK. It's not quite half, but it's almost.
Yeah.
That speaks for itself. So if you're a businessman, I mean, most Canadian businesses, their point of comfort, their point of launch is the UK. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they're very interested in how we're going to carry forward this negotiation, but they don't want to lose that market.
I want to ask you one thing that's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about this, that the UK hasn't had to negotiate foreign trade deals for 40-odd years because the EU did it for them. Now, apparently, there's some they're looking for expertise on how to do that, and I guess Canada's being looked at as one of the sources for advice. Is that right?
We'll take all talent from wherever we can, Don. No, it is true. We effectively, because external trade of the European Union is a union competence, EU competence, we haven't been doing it. So we don't have a ready supply, but we're putting that right.
Scotland, they're talking about exiting Britain before Britain exits the European Union. I know there's some Scots, our friend John Iveson included, who sort of go, yippee. How serious is that threat in your view, and what should Britain do about it?
What we're doing is, the Prime Minister said, now is not the time to be having that. We should be focusing on getting the best deal for the whole of the United Kingdom. And the Prime Minister, ever since the referendum, has been reaching out to not just Scotland, but Wales and Northern Ireland to make sure that we're negotiating for the whole of the United Kingdom, for a deal that's good for the whole of the United Kingdom. Where we're at is a situation where the Scottish First Minister said there should be a referendum sooner. We're saying this is not the time to sort of put Scotland people under a choice to which the outcome is very uncertain. The deal won't be clear by that stage. So it's a distraction.
Okay, well, there's a lot of distractions going on. Commissioner Drake, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
It's nice to have you on. After the break, Canada's Environment Minister joins us to discuss the Canadian fallout after Donald Trump ended what he called a war on coal. Please stay with us. Well, she's just back from talking up clean energy investors in New York City, which came the day before U.S. President Donald Trump signed an executive order to undo much of the Obama climate change fighting measures. Catherine McKenna is Canada's Environment Minister and Climate Change Minister, and she joins me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Great to see you.
Yeah, well, I mean, you spent time talking to these investors, and I guess what's the impact yesterday of these decisions on investment? Does Canada's pastures suddenly look a lot greener for investors?
Well, I think investors are really excited about what we're doing in terms of climate action, but also that, you know, we're moving forward on getting our resources to market. And I think this environment and the economy go together really resonates. We're providing certainty. And I think that when I talk to everyone in the kind of the financing world, whether it's private equity or big funds, they are really excited about the opportunity for clean technology. We had a great budget where we're focusing on how we can support great businesses, attractive investment to Canada, create jobs. And so I think there's a huge opportunity.
But does Trump's actions yesterday scare investors into Canada? Is it an opportunity for us if it's less of an opportunity for them in America?
Well, so the interesting thing was when I was talking to business, and I was talking to, like, you know, big investors like
Bloomberg,
BlackRock.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I was at Bloomberg, Michael Bloomberg. Mm-hmm. He's written a new book about how cities and states and businesses and consumers are taking the action on climate change. And that's really the message I heard. BlackRock, which is the biggest mm-hmm. asset manager in the world, is now looking at how companies are disclosing their risks to climate action. So I think that the message is everyone's moving forward. You have businesses
moving. Except
for
the U.S. President, Minister.
Right, but so we should talk about that. So the executive order, people want to understand what does that mean. So first of all, there are going to be challenges in court. But the thing is, businesses have moved. Businesses are looking at what are the new opportunities, what are the new opportunities in renewables. The five largest states in wind are Republican states. I'm meeting with states. I'm off to California next in a few weeks to talk about the opportunities there. And you're really seeing the business community, I mean, they've already moved forward. The market has moved. It's moving towards renewable, towards cleaner growth. And businesses know that. They want the certainty. They want to make sure that they're doing the right thing, but they see the real business opportunity.
All right. So if I'm reading you correctly, are you saying that the Trump edict yesterday doesn't change anything in the United States of America?
Well, I mean, I think it signals, you know, where the administration is at. But
they
the reality
the
is you can't stop a train. Not one person can stop a train, but the market's moved. And when the market moves, you know, businesses going forward, they want to see climate action. Mm-hmm. You have hundreds of companies that are moving towards renewables, 100% renewables. You have like Walmart, Levi Strauss, Google, like big companies who see that this is the direction that they need to be going. And also that that's what consumers want. I saw an interesting stat, and it was something like 70% of millennials, when they're looking for jobs, are looking at the sustainability progress that a company's making. So I think the market has moved, businesses have moved, cities are taking action, states are taking action, and so everyone's going to move forward. I had a meeting today with a Chinese ambassador. We're working very closely with China on climate action. We're going to continue that momentum internationally. And so I think Canada's really well positioned. We're making the right investments in clean technology. We're providing certainty to business, and we're going to create good jobs here.
But you've been an environmentalist since day one on this job and fairly green. I'm just curious what you was going through your mind yesterday when you watch a partnership with the Obama administration that certainly looked like it was tackling climate change in a way that made the U.S. a world leader. What went through your mind when you saw Donald Trump undo all that with a stroke of a pen?
So I'm focused on the opportunities for Canada. I'm focused on how
and the world.
We and for the world. But I look at how can Canada play a leadership role now. We worked really hard in Paris in the climate negotiations. We've driven action since. And I think there's now an opportunity for Canada to shine. That was the message that I've received from so many people. They said, you know, Canada now has to play a leadership role, work with China, work with the EU. And we're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. I have three kids, and I care about clean air, clean water for them. But I also want to make sure we're attracting investment and jobs.
I know you don't want to criticize the Trump administration. I get that, but were you disappointed when you saw what the Trump administration did yesterday?
You know, we knew that the Trump administration was very clear when it came in that they were, you know, that they were going to do this.
They were very clear about immigration, too, and they didn't get anywhere. Well, they're very good about health care. They didn't go there.
I'm hopeful that they'll stay in the Paris Agreement. I think that there's, you know, we want to keep the U.S. at the table. I met with my counterpart, Administrator Pruitt. Look, you work with whoever, you know, is your opposite. So I think there's areas that we can work on, but I'm also going to be driving action with joint action with states. Mm-hmm. I know cities are working very mm-hmm. closely in Canada and the U.S., and business is key to this. Because at the end of the day, government sets the framework, but it's really business that makes the investment. It's business that creates the jobs. Yeah. And as I say, we're going to attract that investment. We see it as a competitive advantage, our climate action.
We export a lot of hydro. Clean energy to the United States. Now they're firing up coal as the new age fuel for the Trump administration. Is that going to impact on our hydro exports?
Well, I mean, I've talked to businesses and they say they're not going to be an investor, not going to be investing in coal. So I think it's really a market decision. But, you know, there's opportunities. I was talking to New York. There's opportunities, greater opportunities for Quebec Hydro in New York. I'm going to California. I'm going to be talking to them, talking up clean power from Canada. So those opportunities are at the state level. And I think there's real ways that it's a win-win for Canada.